You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
Okay, I'm going to read scripture before Pastor Rick comes up. We are reading in Mark 15, verse 16 through 26. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews."
Thank you, Madison. Thank you. So it's Easter. It's the day, as Clark was pointing out to us, it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead, from the tomb, and we normally focus on that on Easter. But you know, I think a lot of times we kind of skip over the Good Friday. We kind of miss it because, you know, it doesn't happen on Sunday. And so, you know, hey, we got to preach resurrection today. And, you know, it is Good Friday, but a lot of, you know, school might be out. Some years it is, some years it isn't. Some of you are out, off work on Good Friday. So, hey, for you, it's a good day, right? But it wasn't for Jesus, was it? It was not a Good Friday for him. And I wanted us to remember by seeing that, reading that. But I wanted us to really focus today. First of all, I want us to focus on the cross. And today I want to tell you about three rules of the cross. Now, let me explain what I mean by rules of the cross. You won't find these in the Bible where God said number one, number two, number three, like the Ten Commandments. You won't find these rules. These are three things that I want to share with you about the cross, but I chose to use the term rules because I want you to know how strong these things are. These are powerful. You can't change them. You and I, we don't get to discuss them and say whether this is not. No, these are rules. These are in stone, written in the blood of Jesus. These are rules. And now when you hear rules, what do you think of? I mean, if I said, hey, I'm going to start a sermon series on rules, how many of you show up next week? I mean, we really don't like rules a lot, do we? I mean, we love that phrase, rules were meant to be broken. These cannot be broken. But they're good rules. You ever heard of a good rule? You know, a good rule is kind of like a promise. Because if it's a rule, if this happens, then this is going to happen. That's a good rule because I got a promise out of it. And that's what these are. This isn't one of those, you know, rules that you're scared of. These are some good rules. So I want you to pray with me. One more time. We pray quite a few times in our services. I want you to pray with me one time. Let's make sure we're focused. We thank God for this. Recognize what Jesus has done for us. Father, I thank you so much for your sacrifice of sending your son. Jesus, I thank you so much for all that you endured in those hours of torture leading up to those hours that you hung on the cross. Thank you for these sacrifices. Thank you for paying for our sin. And I ask you just to remind us and God, challenge us to believe that you can, that you will, that you want to. All of the things we need to know about you and your love and your grace. Challenge us, God. to chase after it, to seek it, to embrace it, God, in our own lives. Dig into us, Holy Spirit. Let us see something. Let us hear something that we've never seen or heard in such a way. Just give us some deeper understanding, some deeper appreciation, God, so that we can embrace it even closer. I pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Okay, so three rules. And here's the first one. The first one is that anybody can come. All right, that's a good rule, right? Okay, it's all right. That's not a trick question. I know sometimes I might try to. That's a good rule, right? Except for that person that you got problems with, right? You know, now wait a minute. Are they going to be in heaven too? I mean, you know, we're probably all going to get there and look around and find some people that we didn't know were going to be there, right? You know, but that's okay because there's going to be some people there that they're going to be surprised when you show up. Amen? Right? So that's a great rule. And let me give you some scripture. And the most famous of all scriptures probably in the whole Bible is John 3:16, right? A lot of us can quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever. That's a huge word. And I don't mean because it's got, what, seven letters in it. I don't mean it's huge. It's huge because it covers everybody and everything. Whoever. Do you know who is a whoever? I'm a whoever. Are you a whoever? Yeah. And all the people sitting, even that person that you think has done so much, God could never forgive them. They are a whoever as well. Sometimes that's hard for us to receive, but that's the rule, okay? The rule is that whoever. And you know, here's one of the things. I think most people are on one side or the other. I think there are two extremes about the grace of God and salvation through the blood of Jesus. I think a lot of people have an arrogant attitude, you know, of who does God think he is? Tell me how to live. Or who do you think you are to say that your God, Jesus Christ, is the one that gives out eternal life? Who do you think you are? But then there's that other flip side. I think most of us, if we have a struggle, it's probably on the other side where we're thinking, how in the world could God forgive me? And I think we sometimes struggle with that. That's where we are. You're a whoever, okay? Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. I love this one because it just says, come, come, come. The spirit of the bride say, come. And let the one who's here say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Look, it says, the spirit says, come. The bride says, come. The one who hears say, come. And the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So come, come, come. Come over and over. Everything that is spiritual, everything that is about God is saying, come. Everyone's welcome. It's a whoever thing. And then Luke chapter 14, Jesus is telling a parable about being invited and entering the kingdom of God, you know, in the last time, the last day after this life and all that. And he tells a story about a master and everything. And it gets to this one verse. This is pulling it out of there, but that gives you an understanding of the context a little bit. And he gets here, verse 29, he says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. The story is the master, he prepares this big, huge banquet, and he sends invitations out, and people don't come. He sends more invitations out, and he keeps sending. And finally, he sends his servant, says, just go find anybody and compel them. And that's a word that we've used a little bit in this sermon series that we just finished up, compel, drive them out, you know, get them out of their comfort zone, pull them in, do whatever you've got to do to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. There can be no doubt, there can be no argument that God wants his house full. He wants heaven to be crowded. Can I get an amen? He wants you to be there. If you're not accepted Jesus Christ yet, I want you to know he's chasing after you today. Love the song we just sang, right? Oh, his goodness has been running after me. All of my life he has been, and he's still chasing a lot of you today. Oh, so where do we see another example? Let me give you an example. It's actually kind of in our story, but it wasn't in the passage that Madison read for us earlier, okay? This is in Luke, and it's about those two people that were crucified on either side of him. Luke chapter 23, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Do you see again? We're talking about, when it's talking about the two, you know, ends of the spectrum, those who are arrogant about their sin and those who are, I don't know about their sin. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. He's a whoever. And you know who he is? This is a criminal who was guilty of a capital offense. He was guilty of a capital offense. And he was invited in. Now, this criminal, we don't know. I've heard people say, well, he was the first Christian convert because he died just a little bit after Jesus. So, you know, he died from this life, you know, and went into heaven, you know, went into paradise with Jesus. He did it right after. So he's the first convert. Then other people said, yeah, but Jesus wasn't finished, you know, until he got up and some say, and even ascended to heaven and all that. So maybe he was the last of the Old Testament guys, you know, that got in. Or whatever it is, he is in a very pivotal moment in spiritual matters. And God has chosen him to be in this pivotal moment in spiritual matters. And he's a criminal, guilty of a capital offense. Is there anybody in the room that's guilty of a capital offense? Anyone? I know you can't raise your hand because it's on camera, you know, and somebody legal might be watching this, right? Right. But there's nobody in this room that is guilty of a capital offense. Therefore, if he's a whoever, then you are a whoever. Amen. If he's a whoever, then everybody in this room is a whoever. We're all whoevers, that we can come, that anyone can come because he came. I mean, this is a great message that's there. But I know some of us, we still, oh, but you just don't know what I've done, Pastor. How many times have I heard that? You just don't know the life I've lived, Pastor. You just don't know how many people I've hurt. You just don't know the wrongs that I've done and the times that I've gone back and back and back to God and I just still keep messing up. You just don't know. If you doubt in your heart, if you're still just struggling with it right there, whether God can really forgive me of all that I've done. Can I give you one more scripture here? Acts chapter 10. The voice, the Spirit of God, is speaking to Simon Peter. The second time he says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And if you have come to Jesus Christ in faith, you are included in that too. So what he's done is if you've come to him, he's made you pure. He's made you pure. And if he's made you pure, then don't call yourself, even in your heart, don't doubt for a moment that what he has done for you has not made you clean. Don't even doubt for a moment that he settled this in you. Anyone can come. You're a whoever. And if you come to Christ, you are clean. You are pure because he says so. Amen? Here's the second rule. I was a little weak. Well, forgive you there, okay? Second rule. Your debt of sin has been paid in full. I want you to think about some of your sins. I want you to think about some of your worst ones. Do you have any of those that you kind of wince when you think about them? I can't believe I did that. I want you to think about those. The debt is paid in full. It's already been paid. Scriptures, let's look at them right here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's the only way. I mean, it's the only thing that gives us forgiveness, and it's the only thing we need. It is complete. It is all that is needed from the top to bottom. It's all that is needed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your family, your ancestors. For you know it was not with perishable things that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It was not with those things. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You don't have enough money. You aren't good looking enough. You don't have enough talent. None of those things matter in all of this. All that matters is the blood of Jesus Christ, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is paid for this, and you can't get it any other way. All right, and then 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Somebody say all. all sin, from all sin. Okay, sometimes I think we get this attitude, because I've heard people say, do you think that Jesus also died for that sin and that sin and that sin? Listen, there's not an itemized list out there. You know, that you got a list that you committed this sin, this sin, this sin, and this, and you've got a list that you committed this sin and this sin, and you've got a list that you committed this. There's not an itemized list out there. Jesus Christ, when he was bargaining this, my father-in-law used to love to talk about Jesus bargaining the night before his death in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he was praying. And so when he was bargaining for your salvation, he didn't ask for an itemized list. He died for all sin, and it's all taken care of. Every sin that has ever been committed has already been paid for. Whether we accept it or not, it's already been paid for. And there's a lot of people going to die without that forgiveness, but it's already been paid for. Hebrews chapter 9. Let me set this up just a little bit. The context here is that he's talking about the priests in the Old Testament. And how the people, the Jews, they had to come. And they had to come because they kept, you know, we all mess up, okay? They messed up and they kept sinning, you know, so they had to keep coming. They'd bring a sheep, or they'd bring a goat, or they'd bring a calf, or some families, all they could bring was a turtle dove. And so these families would come over and over and over. These turtle doves were for this family. This family had a little bit more money, so they brought a lamb. And so that was for their sin. And so they had to keep going on and on and on and sacrificing over and over and over, okay? And that's the context here. In verse 12 says, Jesus did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption by his own blood once and for all. Yesterday, somebody was asking me about, I bought a new truck. Now, when I say new truck, I think I've only bought two brand new cars in my life. So I'm talking about new to me, right? So it's a 2020 truck that I just bought because I had an accident, you know, back in December. You know, we totaled that one. And it is an awesome testimony about how God put us in that old 06 Tundra truck, me and two of my grandkids, and how that tank of a truck protected us, that it was so bashed in on the front, there was nothing in the cab that was broken, not one single thing that was broken. And I just believe God put us in that, and it just protected us. So guess what I bought? I bought another Tundra, right? I bought a 2020 Tundra. So somebody was asking me about it yesterday in the place that I bought it. I told them where I bought it, and I told them, I think I got a good deal. You might not think, but I think I got a good deal. And so I kind of told them, I said, I had a pretty good down payment, and so, you know, I got my payments down really low and everything, so I feel real good about that. That kind of thing. And they said, I'm not really interested. I need something maybe a little cheaper because I want to pay cash for the whole thing. Most of us don't know what that means, right? Because we don't ask how much is it. We ask, what are the payments, right? Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't ask, what are the payments? He's not making payments on this. He paid it all at once with his blood, every bit of it. He doesn't have to make any more payments. If you mess up tomorrow, he's already paid for it. If your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, whatever sins they may commit, Jesus Christ has already paid for it. There's not an itemized list. He's not picked and chosen some things, and he's not making payments on it. He paid it once and for all. That's why it cost him so much on that Good Friday. Is because he paid it all. Somebody say praise God, amen? And he said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thank God on behalf of that criminal. Thank God you don't have to pay for it, because that criminal could not have paid for anything. If Jesus said, okay, why don't you go do this, 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 and this, the criminal couldn't do that, right? He was kind of tied up for the moment, right? On the cross. He couldn't do that. He didn't have time to go and pay for that. His life was ending. He was dying right then and there. He did not have time to do it. But Ken, I remind you of this. You and I, we don't have time either. If you had to pay for every sin you've ever committed, because, I mean, you know, we all kind of think we're pretty good people, but if you think a while, you'll remember a whole lot of others, and there's a whole lot of them you've forgotten. If you had to pay for them, you don't have enough time in this life to pay for all your sins. You don't have the ability to pay for all your sins. You don't have the righteousness. The reason he had to die Unlike calves and goats and sheep, the reason he had to die is he was sinless. You've never been sinless in this life. We were born into it. So there's no way we could have ever done that. Thank God. Thank God he's paid it all. Alistair Begg is he's called a Scottish pastor, but he spent the last 43 years here in America. But he's still got that accent and love to hear him preach just because of that accent sometimes. He spent his last 42 years of full-time ministry in Cleveland, Ohio. He's another one of the preachers that I've been listening to a little bit lately. So he was there for 42 years. So he's a Scottish pastor, but he's really been in America for most of his life now, just retired last year. And here's a quote from one of his sermons. If you were to die tonight to gain entry into heaven, what would you say? All right, this is not the way it works, but we kind of have imagined this in the movies and cartoons and stuff, right? Simon Peter standing there, and he said, okay, you know, why should I let you in? That's not really the way it works, okay? But if it were to work that way, what would you say? Why should I let you in? What is the reason that you should be allowed in? What would we say? Now, I thought I knew where he was going with this, so I kind of thought about it a couple moments. I had my answer, and that wasn't where he was going. Actually, he got me on this. When I answered, and I answered wrongly, I actually answered what he's going to say right here at the beginning. Here's what he says. If you answer that, and I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believe, because I have faith, because I am this. Those were the things I was thinking. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. Because he. Somebody say, because he. Because the man on the middle cross said I could come. Nobody else can invite me in, but the man on the middle cross, he said I could come. That is the only answer. Would you say thank God for the man in the middle on the middle cross? Yes, because he. I've done nothing to earn it. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I could never be good, you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to. He's already done all that. And he's paid for it. Here's the third rule, okay? Third rule is that the cross is the beginning. Sometimes we look at the cross, we think it's the ending, right? Jesus died on the cross. That's the end, right? Oh, no. The cross was the beginning. Luke chapter 23, verse 43, we've already read it there at the end of that little passage about the criminal. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in... That does not sound like the end to me. I'm going to where? Paradise. Man, last week, I kind of teased you a little bit at the beginning of the sermon. You know, where would you choose to go if you're going on vacation? I gave you four options, but you probably had other options in mind besides that. You know, the worst part, what's the worst part of a vacation? Coming home. Somebody say getting there. Coming home, right? The last day is always like, oh no, I don't have another, and you got to pack and all that. This day you'll be with me in paradise, and you know what? There is no last day. This eternal vacation that you and I are going on, there is no last day. The worst part of a vacation is knowing you got to come home. There is no last day that this is over. It's always going to be there. It's always there. The cross is the beginning. It was and his ending, because that was the end of his life, and his ending became his beginning. Think about that. His ending became his beginning. The ending of his life of crime, the ending of the last breath he was about to take, the last drop of blood that was about to be spilled, this criminal's last, his ending was about to become his beginning. And I don't know what was in his past. But man, it had to be bad, but that ending became his beginning. Now listen, we all have endings in our life. We got the big one coming, right? You do know that one day you're going to breathe your last breath. You do know you're not going to live forever, like you thought you were when you were 14, 15, 16, right? You're not going to live forever. And those of you who are 14, 15, 16, you're not going to live forever, okay? You're not going to live forever. That day is coming. But not just that, we have lots of endings through our life. Failed marriages, lost friendships, business ventures that fail. We have all kinds of endings in this life. But Jesus Christ can redeem those endings, every one of them, into a new beginning in our life. But there's something we have to do, not to receive salvation, but there's something we have to do to really see that new beginning to have place. We have to allow wrong things to die in our life so that we can see the new beginning. We have to allow that. Now, I really struggle with how to lay this out and explain this to you. But I just got to realize 150 people in one room, I got to come up with 150 explanations because it's different for everybody. You got something dying over there. You got something in it over there. It's different for everybody. And some of us, we got stuff on life support. You know, we get the AED out back there trying to keep that thing alive in our life, right? If y'all didn't know, there's an AED back there in case you need it sometime, all right? That was a good commercial right there, throw that in, right? But that's what we do with a lot of things. But you've got to let some endings come to an end. There are some things, maybe some relationships, maybe some favorite whatever that you have to allow so that he can give you that full new life. Salvation is free, but you've got to accept it. And you've got to let some other stuff go because he wants to do that for you. See, one of the things we do, I think, is we think Jesus died just so we could get heaven. Heard a pastor sometime this week, and I've racked my brain trying to remember who said it. I heard a pastor, I think it was this week, might have been the week before. And he said, if you've come to Christ just so you can skip hell and you can make it to heaven, you don't love Jesus. You're using him. Ooh, that hurts. But isn't that what we say when someone is in a relationship just so they can get something out of it? We're using that person. And if all we're looking at is that, we're just using Jesus. But he wants so much more. He wants relationship with you right now. Not one day, not on the other side of this life, not on the other side of the clouds, not in eternity. He wants relationship with you right now. That's why he died, to forgive your sins so that you could be in relationship with him right now, because God is the God of second chances. He is the God of second chances. Go back to Genesis with me. Think about it. When he created the earth, he showed us he's the God of second chances. He created the sun and the moon, and he divided it, the light from the darkness, and he said the evening and the morning were the first day. Thank you. I heard somebody help me over there. The first day. And then what happened? The sun came up again tomorrow. And then what happened? The sun came up again the next day. And then what happened? The sun came, and the sun just keeps coming up every day. And, you know, we have a bad day, and we can just look forward to getting a fresh start tomorrow, right? Where did we get that? From God, because he's the God of second chances. And then he gives us seasons, right? You don't like winter? Hang in there. Spring is coming. Right? And it comes and comes. And then we get this idea of the new year thing. He gave us the seasons and the years and that way, you know, the way that the earth spins around, rotates around the sun. And he gave us that. And so, you know, here in this country, man, we've really embraced that. I mean, you know, we stay up late. We watch the ball drop, or, you know, the moon pie and mobile drop, or the whatever, you know, it is that you're watching drop. I mean, we get into that, right? It's a new year. And we make resolutions and we turn over new leaves and all that. Where did this come from? This came from God, because he's a God of a second chance. But it is so much deeper than most of us are ever embracing, because it's not just turning over a new leaf. This is spiritual deliverance that he wants to give to us. He delivers us from a yesterday life that is destroying everything around us, and he delivers us into a new life that is beautiful, that is wonderful, that is everything we could ever possibly imagine. This is what and who he gives us in this, and the way that he's done it is complete and total, and he's paid for it all, and so now we have this beginning, and all we've got to do is just receive it. And I dare you to hope again. If you're still just not positive that he can do that for you, because, man, I'm looking at faces right now, and I know what some of you think sometimes. You're just not sure if you can get a fresh start. He is the God of a second chance. I dare you. Look around this room. Do you know what? This room is full of people on their second chance. Can I get an amen? And some of you on your third chance. And some of you on your fourth chance. Do I need to go on? He's the God of a second chance. I dare you. Hope again. Hope again. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I dare you. Hope one more time. Hope again. Hope today. I want to read this again. And I want you to read it with me. I don't mean out loud, though. I want you to read it with me in your spirit. Because I don't want you thinking about the time and staying in time with my. I don't want you thinking about that. So I want you to read this with me. I want you to read it in your spirit. And I want you to say yes. I remember when David wrote, and he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He was saying, "Come on, soul. Wake up. Stir yourself. Bless the Lord." I want you to do that this morning. As I read this, I want you to stir your soul up one more time. I want you to hope one more. I want you to dare to hope one more time. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I still dare to hope because of all this. Can you say amen and praise God? Amen. And thank God for that hope. Thank God for that hope. Now, as I said early on, five, you're coming back. Come on back and play. Play when you get a chance, when you get here. I said when we began this sermon today that we know, you know, too many times we skip over Good Friday. We don't even think about it. But today's Easter, Pastor. We're supposed to be talking about the tomb, aren't we? Resurrection, all that. Got good news for you. Next Sunday, the sermon is Rules of the Tomb. And I am so looking forward to preaching that one to you. Good rules again, okay? So don't miss that one. Rules of the tomb. But today we've been talking about this. Salvation through that sacrifice, the blood that washes away our sin. His mercies are new every morning and all that. So preacher, how do you become a Christian? How do you get saved? Glad you asked. My favorite scripture is Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you've been here a while, you know that. Read it sometime, memorize it, know what it says, but I'll wrap it up with these two words right here. Believe and confess. Verse 9 basically says, if you believe in here and you declare it with your mouth, you declare out loud what faith you have in here, then you'll be saved. You know what verse 10 says? Same thing. Just repeats it so we know, okay? You ever repeat something for emphasis? We preachers do it all the time. Parents, you ever repeat something for emphasis? You do it all the time, don't you? He repeats it, says it a little different way. Same thing. Believe in here. Declare it with your mouth. And when you do, you'll be saved. But we got to do that sinner's prayer, right? All right, let's look at the sinner's prayer. I'm teasing you again. There's not one. You ever heard of the sinner's prayer? Yeah, where's that written? It's not in the Bible. You know, there's not been some big conclave of preachers to put together a sinner's prayer because there are no specific words you need to pray. What you're doing is you're declaring what's in here. That's all you're doing. And that's going to look different for everybody a little bit. And the reason we call it the sinner's prayer is because it's when someone who's been a sinner not following Jesus, when they first time just reach out to, and listen, a lot of people pray before they become Christians. I'll just let you in on a secret. You know, God never, commits himself to hear those prayers and to answer them, okay? But when you become a Christian, he says he's going to hear that. And so the sinner's prayer is the first one that you pray that you have the promise of God hearing you. And so we call it the sinner's prayer because you're a sinner when you pray it. And every prayer you pray after that is a Christian prayer. That's why we call it the sinner's prayer. It's not a specific set of words. It's just declaring what's in here. Here's your example of, again, from our story that we've read about this criminal. You know, about what did he pray? Did he pray some certain words? No, we don't have a whole lot. We don't really know what was in his heart. We didn't see it. You know, he didn't get to get down off the cross and go do some good work. So he didn't get to make an offering, you know, to some charitable group or anything. He didn't get to do any of that. So we don't know a lot about what's in his heart until he opens his mouth. And the first thing we hear is where he challenges that other criminal. He said, hey, you and I deserve this, but this man on this middle cross, he doesn't deserve this. So in his heart, what was what? Repentance. Sorrow. He knew. And what we kind of can say from that is, whatever this life wants to throw at me, I deserve. And that's what he's saying. We deserve what we're getting, but this man doesn't. And then the next thing he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So that's the words, but what are we seeing in his heart from those words? He believes Jesus is a king. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believes Jesus is a king. So he declares with his mouth his faith that Jesus is a king, that he has a king, and he declares his trust in him that, hey, I'm about to breathe my last breath, and I'm watching this man Jesus die. I'm seeing all this, but I know, and he's putting his trust in him after this life because he's talking about what's coming next. That's all this is. That's all it takes to become a Christian. And so I want us to pray. Don't get your keys out yet. I got some things to share with you after this too. But I want us to pray. And if you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian today, that's all it takes. And I just encourage you to just speak whatever's in your heart about your faith in Jesus Christ. Can we pray? And if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe it's time to revisit some of this and just remember where he brought us from and how he did it.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at Church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.